London's LBC 97.3.
Yowza.
0870 9090973. Nick Abbott.
Everything is going extremely well.
So during the course of that news break, Alex asked me, via Lucy, if I wanted to go to the toilet.
What?
He actually said, if you want to go to the toilet, now's a good time to go, because we've got the sport after the news. Like I'm 5 years old. And we're embarking on a long trip. I've never felt so condescended to it in my life. How dare you interfere with my ablutions?
Think of it more like a theatre break. It's just the interval. You just can't get a glass of wine.
And when we started, you said, so are you wearing something that you just bought for Christmas? Like, tapping, I'm amazed you didn't say, gosh, you've grown. Like, I can't buy
gosh,
my
don't
own
you look
clothes.
Lovely today.
Well, yes, I do.
Well, tapping you on the head.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't really think I'm patronising.
Condescending, not patronising. Oh, Louise.
Hi, Nick.
Hey, Louise.
Hi, how are you?
I am all right.
Good. Did you have a good day yesterday?
Yes, I did. It was a very good day yesterday, yeah. I did. Yeah, how could you not?
Good.
It was hot and crispy and juicy. Mm.
Oh, good for you. Sounds lovely. The Boxing Day sale. I don't see the point in them because everybody's skint after Christmas. All the best things are going to have gone anyway. It's cold and it's going to be, like, really busy. You're going to get trampled on.
Well, if you're smart, I suppose, you will have not bought very many Christmas things. You'll have bought a token thing at Christmas. You won't have spent every penny you've got on buying goods at 100% of their retail value, because you'll know that in 2 days' time, they'll all be 50% off. So
yeah.
If you actually want to stick one in the eye of the retail trade, you'll have just given a token to the people that you love. You know, no more than, the Chelsea footballers gave a tenner. Something that was worth £10 in order not to be accused of waving their money in our face.
Yeah.
So that would have been the smart thing to do, is to just give the people that you love a token, and then you'd all charge to the sales en masse, like lemmings, and bought up stuff that you would have bought for, say, £100 at, 25 quid, £30. You'll be elbowing each other in the face in order to get at the bargains.
You'll be shooting each other and stabbing each other.
Yeah.
I just don't understand it. It's bizarre to me that people would do that. I mean, all the best things are going to have gone.
Well, that's not entirely true. I mean, the retail trade had a terrible year. So they keep telling us over and over and over again, just before Christmas, they said that no one has bought a single thing. We've had our doors open, we've been heating the pavement, and still people won't come in. And, we've sold, precious little because, almost no clothes because the weather has been so, delightful up until pretty much now.
Yeah.
Now the trees are in bloom and winter is over.
Yeah, and just after Christmas they'll say, oh, it was our best sale ever.
Well, that's what they've started to say, yeah, and I think they're doing that in order to get us to go. We'll think,
yeah.
Oh, blimey, we're missing out here.
Yeah, definitely.
But you're right about the not having any money part, yeah.
Yeah, it's just strange.
And you'll go into the sale at a heightened sense of retail, with a heightened sense of retail energy. You'll want, and if it says 75% off,
it
pretty much doesn't matter what it is, you've got to have it, right?
Yeah, I'm like that anyway, if I see anything like that.
Even if they don't make what it is in your size, or anything even close to it, you'll still have it. Even if it doesn't fit or suit you or plug into a British outlet or anything.
It's true.
I can't walk past a sign that says anything more than 50% off without wanting it, regardless of what it is. Yeah.
Me too. It's because I get ripped off so much, I think.
And I've got no end. I've got wardrobes full of clothes I only ever put on in the shop and never since. This is stupid, isn't it? I mean, when have you ever seen me in anything? I mean, you remarked that this crappy old sweatshirt was, and I might have got it for Christmas.
Yeah.
But by implication, I only ever wear one thing, right? A tatty old sweatshirt with food stains down the front of it, and track pants. You don't have to say it out loud. I know what that's what you're thinking.
Not at all. But apart from your DJ, which you occasionally rock up in.
Oh yeah, right. I've got no end of clothes. I just never wear them. I'm like
why
everybody.
Not?
What? Because I'm stupid. That's why not.
Do you dress up though during
never.
The week?
Never. For why?
Well, I mean, when you're popping out.
To shuffle to the fridge and back?
No, if you're going out in the week.
Out?
Well, I presume you do go out occasionally.
What, outside?
I mean, don't just fester at home.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. In your slippers.
If I don't actually have to leave the house, days can go by when I don't go out.
Oh, dear.
I don't even go down to get the post. And that's just a lift ride away.
Do you get the papers delivered?
No. But
if you do shuffle out for that occasionally.
Yeah.
Oh dear, it's a sad tale, isn't
no,
it?
No, it isn't. It's great. Why would you ever want to leave? It's awful outside. It will continue to be awful outside for the next 5 months.
Oh.
It's true.
Well, apparently it's going to be warm on Saturday.
Warm?
Yeah.
In what sense warm?
Well, Alex just told me it's going to be 15 degrees.
No way.
He could be making it up.
Are you making it up?
It's the truth, I tell you.
15?
It was on the BBC.
Double it and add 32. That's, blimey, that's almost 100 degrees.
Basically. Wow.
Keep your bikini on ice, loose. It'll be sweltering out there. 15, that's 30 is 62. That can't be right. 62
that's
in
ridiculous.
December? No way. Yeah. That's practically barbecue weather.
You'll have to leave your sweatshirt at home.
Yes. I'll come completely nude. So, how was it with you then, Louise?
Oh,
did you have a good day yesterday?
Yes, I did, thank you. I was at my grandma's and I did have enough by 3 o'clock. I came and sat in the corridor like I said I would.
You did what?
I sat in my grandma's corridor about 3 o'clock-ish because everybody had had too much to drink and they were arguing. So
At 3 o'clock? What, when the Queen was speaking?
Yeah.
Did you see the Queen?
No.
She was swaying a bit, it seemed to me. Just the front piece where she was doing a bit to camera. Not particularly well, it has to be said, for someone who's done it so many times, her eyes, well, you could see them going back and forth on the script like that. When you watch newsreaders reading, they don't go back and forth. They kind of scan in a line down the middle and almost read words out the corner of their eyes because they don't want to look like they're reading it. Almost,
yeah.
They want to look like they're making it up because otherwise we think, well, these idiots, they're just reading. Anyone can do that, which is essentially true. Anyone could be a newsreader. All you have to do is to be able to read out loud. But that's what she was doing. Maybe they'd put too many words on the line. Because if you look at an auto cue, they'll only have about two words on a line, two or three words, so that your eyes don't go back left and right like you're reading a book. So I think that they probably, whoever was doing the Queen's auto cue probably got it wrong. Because she was scanning lines. She was going down. And once you see someone's eyes doing that, you can't really pay attention to what they're saying because you're just watching their eyes.
Yeah, that's true. That is
too much fun, though, if you're on auto cue doing it for the Queen. Oh, I'll just speed it up here. Here we go.
And the Queen told a joke. She actually told it, and I laughed out loud. The Queen made me laugh out loud. She said one of her grandchildren, I don't know, I can't remember whether her grandchild said it to her. I don't think that was the case. A grandchild asked an elderly relative if she remembered the Stone Age. The Queen threw that gag in. Honking with laughter I was. And she did it very straight-faced, almost as though she was surprised herself.
I wish I'd watched it now.
But it wasn't an annus horribilis this year. Why on earth would she ever have come out with that phrase? I mean, it's the first time anybody had ever heard that phrase, right?
Yeah.
And boy, did we make merriment with that one. But this time she seemed a bit positive, as though, you know, everything might turn out all right. Does everybody think that everything might turn out all right?
No.
No. Not really, no. You know, because we've seen the news and we've read the papers. We're doomed. If Mahmoud I'm Mad in the Head doesn't get us, then the asteroid that's hurtling towards us at a million miles an hour, that's 1,000 foot across, that will, when it smashes into Earth, will throw all of us off the other side.
When's that happening?
5:30.
Oh, great. Excellent. I've got to go. Can I ask?
It's happening. All life on Earth will be extinguished at 5:30.
There was only one
thing. But as I've shown up, can I be paid till 6?
Yeah. I think it's only fair. If you were on a plane, does that mean you'd be all right if an asteroid came into the Earth?
Interesting.
So, because there's isn't there at any one time a million planes up in the air?
So how many?
I think so, yeah.
A million? Oh, come on.
I'm pretty sure.
A million?
Can't be that many, can it?
Don't be daft, lass.
Okay, let's say 1,000. Anyway, if there were 1,000 planes up in the air at any one time.
Right.
Okay, and they're all full. So even if everybody else was destroyed, there would still be people
wrestling to get their peanuts open.
You're complaining about microwave food.
Yeah.
But life could continue.
They'd have nowhere to land.
That's a good point, yeah.
Be stuck up there.
Forever circling.
Well, they go until the fuel goes.
Yeah, you
sorry,
didn't
we cannot land at Heathrow today. There is an asteroid.
But at least the life jacket that you'll find under your seat has a whistle to attract attention.
That's all right. And a light if you're lucky.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that would be useful as you've just smashed into the ocean at 500 miles an hour. At least you've got a whistle under your seat. But anyway, the Queen, yeah, she said some, you know, I felt quite positive after watching the Queen in her little green dress. She's, you know what? Sometimes if you haven't seen a relative for a little while, and they've got to a certain age, you think, ooh, you've just got older.
Yeah.
Like, significantly older than I remember you. It's like you just jumped 10 years. And that's the way I felt about the Queen yesterday. She looks like she's just got, I mean, she's 80-some, right? But I don't remember her looking quite that old. A doctor friend of mine said that she looked like she was on steroids because she had like a puffy face. I don't mean bodybuilding steroids, not she's going for a beefcake physique. I mean that, you know, she's got a pain in her back, right? And I think they would treat that with steroids. And what they will do is they'll make your face puffy, like you've got a moon face. And the Queen looks like she's a bit puffy. You're a bit puffy, Mom.
Maybe she had a bit too much turkey.
Oh, that's, yeah, well, quite possibly.
Should have had that quite a way in advance, though.
With a little plastic fork, taking it out of Tupperware, like that. in a little lightened corner of one of her grand salons, with a 3-bar fire in front of her. Little Tupperware box like that. Watching Coronation Street. The whole of the rest of the palace is dark and freezing cold. She's just sitting there on her own with a Tupperware box.
And a little gas fire.
Thinking to herself, but I'm the Queen! So anyway, have we done you yet, Louise?
Yes, we have.
Thanks a lot, dear.
Yeah, thank you.
See ta-ra.
Bye.
This is LBC.
London's LBC 97.3. 0870 90 90 973. Nick Abbott.
Talking of things that we used to do, do you remember Kanakas? Hey, Alex, you remember Kanakas? Or Kalakas? Or Clackers? Clackers? Clackers?
Clackers.
Yeah, there were two balls of about yay big, which were on the ends of strings, and you used to wave your hand up and down, and they would clack above your hand and then below your hand as you would wave them, and then smash into 1,000 tiny little pieces and lodge in your eye.
Oh.
Oh, what fun we used to have.
I thought you meant like maracas. They sound a lot more easy to play.
Yeah, they were one of the things that got banned before we went ban crazy, and now you can't do anything at all.
Was it like conkers?
Like extreme conkers, yeah.
Hmm. That's quite dangerous too, though, isn't it?
Oh,
but
come
do kids still play conkers?
Well, if the council hasn't doesn't see them do it, yes.
I never see conkers around anymore. And
well,
it's probably
that's because
not a
it's
season.
Been banned.
But you used to have to try and make them as hard as you could, didn't you? Like soak them in vinegar or
none of that worked.
Well, no, but it made you feel good if you thought that you could make your conker harder than anyone else's.
Yeah, you go to an hour upon endless hour of baking and soaking and drilling, and then it gets smashed on the first knock. What on earth was all that about then?
But you've had so much bravado before you've played. Yeah, I've soaked this for 3 days.
I hated conkers because they hurt.
Yeah.
They were wrapped in the back of your hand. What's the point of that?
Good thing they're banned now.
Why, yeah, why play games that hurt?
Stick to hopscotch. Much better.
Well, a lot of boy games. Don't they? It was mainly boys who played conkers.
Yeah.
It's all about
girls
being
far too smart to engage in any of that.
Mm.
Girls play conkers nicely. Gently.
Well, by arranging them in pretty shapes and gluing them onto paper. Yeah.
Make little pieces of jewellery out of them.
So you're supposed to grow a beard from now on?
Alex has already started.
Yeah, it's way ahead of us.
You've missed
so
a bit,
tired of being right all the time.
So are you going to start this now?
No, because... there's just something that's really unpleasant about having a beard.
Have you ever had a beard?
Well, I think like 4 or 5 days is the longest I've gone without shaving, which is it's not quite a beard. That's just you looking messy.
Can't be bothered to shave.
Tramp-like.
Yeah. But it said that on the snooze that, that we now are supposed to grow beards. It being December the 26th, supposed to grow a beard for, what, 3 months or something?
Is there a fine if you don't grow a beard?
Was it
They're
by the Beard Liberation?
I don't know. It was some sort of... Because we're not going to be working. Like, it goes back to ye ancient times. I was only half listening, so I was very busy in here.
You were,
organising my material, yeah.
Prep.
And, it said it was something of the order of that because we're not going to be working for the next couple of weeks, apart from, you know, us here in show business world, who are, you know, working our fingers to the bone in here, aren't we, Luce?
Oh, yeah. I was in for hours before the show.
Red raw.
Didn't want to let you down.
Well, I don't know if we will have time to fit in any of the stuff that you've prepared.
Oh, really?
In before 6 o'clock.
Maybe we can carry it over for tomorrow. See if we can get it in then.
That should be your New Year's resolution.
Oh, no. Are you setting me more tasks?
Yeah, you could produce the show.
Because so I'm just far, too busy.
So far, no one has any idea what you do. Like, people in the building are like, looking at you, what? Are, I mean, she comes
every day, every now
and again, strolls in when she likes.
Wanders out.
Got no clue what she does. Security, apparently, are so lax that they just let her come in and go as she pleases. How many calls do you think I can fit in the last half hour?
Well...
Should we do a lightning round? No, forget
that. Oh, yeah, come on, let's. They're fun. Can we do a nice, cheery one?
Like what?
Best thing about Christmas or something like that? You like to do it with one word, don't you? Christmas is...
Christmas is?
Or Boxing Day has been...
Christmas is. It might work.
Or
it
on
might
New
not.
Year, I'll be...
Or we might be sitting here with egg on our faces.
Oh, we could be. Well, you can probably think of something more amusing.
Oh, yeah, I'll do that. Mm-hmm. That's what I do. Hey, did you ever watch the Parliamentary Channel? That was on the screen in here the other day where I had to ask you to switch it off because it was just too exciting. I couldn't concentrate on my little show. The Parliamentary Channel. Who watches that?
Well, it's not me. And I sincerely doubt it's Alex either.
Apparently 55,000 people watch that every day.
Are you serious?
That's what it says right here in the newspaper. 55,000 people watch... I mean, that's more people than watched Russell Brand.
That's insane.
Rowdy MPs risk embarrassment on television with the easing of tight restriction on broadcasters' coverage of parliamentary proceedings. You see... This is how the new open government worked, right? Because they were going to say, in order to let the people in on the process of government, we will, for the first time, consent to cameras being allowed into the Houses of Parliament. On the condition that, they said, you don't actually show anything that's embarrassing in any way, shape or form to us, to include shots of an empty house, which it almost always is. There's practically no one there ever. Or shots of baying MPs shouting and gesticulating at each other. So basically...
That's the best bit.
Well, exactly. In fact, that's what it's all about. It's like a big boys' club to which women are occasionally allowed. And they're all just, it's kind of like an eaten mess must be like. Mm. You know, the aftermath of an eaten banquet. They're all drunk and stuffed and shouting at each other. Only because they haven't got any are they not throwing food at each other. But that's basically what it's like. But we're not allowed to show that. We just have to show government in its full majesty. But now, finally, the people who are running the cameras will be able to point... at something other than the person who is speaking.
Hmm.
So they're saying. At present, the cameras are only allowed to film tight shots of MPs who are speaking, or exchanges between ministers and opposition spokesmen. But in the new year, broadcasters will be allowed to pan around the chambers and film reaction shots that will capture the verbal volleys across the floor of the House. And this uniquely, it'll be worth tuning in just to see what we've been missing, just to see the truth of it. And you will be so shocked that you'll never want to watch it again, or indeed vote again. Isn't it true that something like two-thirds of the people who live in this country did not vote for any of the major parties last time? Isn't that incredible?
Yeah.
Two-thirds. More people voted for Liana or Leona or whatever her name
they
is in, the,
did,
in
yeah.
the X Factor than voted for this government.
Well, that's terrible,
or probably even any of the top three parties. It's like I said, that's what we're like in this country. Simon Cowell will tell us what to do and we'll just trundle meekly along behind him. It could land some more vocal MPs in hot water if they're shown using unparliamentary language or making unseemly hand gestures at their political opponents, which is exactly what they do.
Or the ones that aren't asleep.
Yeah, exactly.
Or picking their noses.
It may also expose how ill-attended the Commons is during many sittings. A full House is a comparative rarity. Well, I think that's an understatement. It never is, unless it's the Prime Minister's question times, in which they, in which case they all pack in because they know that that's when people watch.
Right.
You know what they do? They do donutting. Have you heard about this?
What's donutting?
Well, the absenteeism has led to a trick that now stands to be exposed. MPs from the main parties are apt to indulge in donutting, which is the same as when, you know, they show the Oscars, and if someone wants to go to the toilet, like their, you know, like their version of Alex and you, we'll ask, pat them on the head, say, do you need to go to the toilet? Like that. And they'll lead them off by the hand, leaving a vacant seat. And so when the cameras pan around, they don't want a vacant seat because they'll think, oh, Tom Cruise has just, you know, has just slipped off. This is so boring, not even Tom Cruise can stand it anymore. And he can talk to people outside Leicester Square Theatre for 3 hours. Can you imagine what's going through his mind? He must be so, like the awful nightmare, shell-suited peoples leaning over the barrier shouting, Tom! Tom! He's standing there talking to them.
You.
Yeah, exactly, for 3 hours. Well, I guess, you know, if you were paid £50 million a film, you would do that too. But donutting is when when someone's speaking, all of the people on the benches behind them, who will be scattered around, come to sit close to them, so that when the camera's on the person that's speaking, it looks as though they're surrounded by people. Isn't that awful?
London's LBC 97.3. Nick Abbott. 0870-9090-973.
Would you mind telling me what this is all about?
We should have, we shouldn't have taken any calls at all. I was just, tried to, you know, do a, set a record here for not taking any calls at all during the course of a 3-hour show.
You should have done.
Yeah.
And then you'd have had a full switchboard the whole time.
I know, yeah. If you ask for calls, then they'll be sitting on their hands. If you say, I absolutely do not want to take any calls from now on, they'll virtually explode.
Do you think? We could try that tomorrow, if you like.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah. shall I give the number out?
Well, people might not know it.
Yes. I've got the, you know, this is the time of the year when people come up with these lists of things of the year, you know, music of the year and films of the year, and they're always wrong. But I've got, relationship shock of the year, biggest waste of time and money of the year, court ruling of the year, which isn't that Saddam Hussein thing. They said that judges had been against Saddam Hussein from the beginning. Gosh, I wonder why. Is it because he's a lunatic mass-murdering nut job?
Oh, so he's such a nice man.
Yeah, it must be something like that, yeah. Letter of the year and dope of the year.
Now, who's dope of the year?
Oh, all right.
Are we going to play? Or is it not for me?
Oh, it's not a game.
All right.
Life is not a game.
Oh, like a little puppy there.
But it's Christmas! Isn't this the time to play games?
Dope of the year. That's the one you wanted.
Yeah.
A jobless TV quiz addict. That's the key here, right? Jobless.
Yes.
Ran up a phone bill of nearly, guess how much? That's right. £9,000. Jobless. Phone bill, £9,000, in a desperate bid to get on shows like Deal or No Deal.
Oh, dear.
Brett Reese, 22, made calls costing as much as £1 a minute for up to 8 hours a day. That's not £9 grand for the year. That's just £9 grand for their...
But you know what? It was probably that awful thing where once he'd started, at first it was okay, but then he thought, well, I've wasted this much money, I might as well go and make it all back.
Law of diminishing returns, yeah. And that won't help in real life, whether you're on the phone or in a casino.
Well, that's awful, isn't it?
Brett, whose only income is a £40 a week job seeker's allowance, totted up the 126-page bill in 25 days. Phone bill for 25 days, £9 grand. And already I have a question. If he's getting, from us, £40 a week job seeker's allowance, shouldn't he be seeking a job?
Well, yeah.
Not sitting on the phone for 8 hours a day trying to get on Deal or No Deal. Now he's facing the threat of bailiffs seizing his few possessions and admits, I can't pay. He got hooked on shows like Noel Edmonds' Channel 4 hit Deal or No Deal, which remains a mystery to me. I don't get it. And ITV's The Mint. Is that still on?
I believe so. They should steal his phone first.
Yeah.
Cut it off.
While he was sitting at home, out of work, he decided he could do better than many of the contestants on these shows, so he tried to get on the TV by ringing high-rate phone lines for 8 hours a day. I mean, once you've done it for 8 hours, you would have surely got the message, right? I mean, that just seems like you're a little slow.
Yeah, but I suppose if you're not seeing the money in front of you at the time and you think that you can make all this money, you can't visualise it, can you?
That's why they give you chips in casinos and you're not actually handing over actual money so it doesn't seem like money anymore. Which is why we spend crazy amounts on rubbish when we go abroad, because it's all funny money. It's not real money anymore, right?
I think it's the same here as well, even using your debit card
credit
card.
Yeah,
you're not actually ever handing... I think if we all paid with cash all the time, you'd be much more aware.
You're right. And the same thing on the internet as well. It's almost the credit card thing at Multiply, because you're not handing it over and getting the goods. You're just writing your number down on a website, and you don't get the goods straight away, so it's almost like you haven't bought them.
No, and then it's like a present when
it arrives. Exactly right,
Whoa,
yes.
Look at that.
It's like somebody's given you something. Yeah, correct. So he's tried to get on these shows by ringing high-rate phone lines for hour upon endless hour, but all he ended up was with a huge bill which landed on his doormat with a bang in Rotherham in South Yorkshire. However, Brett, who has now been cut off yesterday, guess what? Well, not yesterday, obviously, but whenever this story first came out.
Yeah.
He blamed the phone company.
The phone company?
Yes, for letting the £8,782.86 bill spiral out of control. He moaned, they should have a system which cuts you off before it gets to this stage, which sums up everything that's wrong with this country in a nutshell.
But he might have a small point.
No, he doesn't.
Yes,
well, he might do.
If you suddenly...
But that's not pertinent to this story, Lucy.
But the point is, if you suddenly rack up a huge bill on your credit card or on your bank card, the bank will ring you and say, just to check that nothing's going on.
Oh, shut
And maybe that would be quite helpful if the phone company had done that to him and said, look, mate, you know, your bill now is at £5 grand. Are you sure you want to keep going?
This nutter was calling these numbers at £1 a minute for 8 hours a day, and he blamed the phone company. I mean, talk about abrogating your responsibilities. No one's responsible for their actions in this country anymore.
I take it he's single as well.
Well, he didn't have the guiding hand of a good woman, that's for sure.
Oh, dear.
That's incredible. I mean, that he would do
it. He's going to regret that for the rest of his life now, isn't he?
Yeah, good. Not only that, to compound the mistake of doing it for a start, I mean, that's crazy enough. But then to turn around and say, it's got nothing to do with me, not my fault. He's 22, but like the nation, kind of acts like he's 5. It's like the Bart Simpson defence. It's like that when I got here. It's nothing to do with me.
It's just another form of gambling, though, isn't it?
Well, yeah, yeah.
Oh, dear.
So he's the dope of the year.
Well, he does deserve that award.
Yeah. unless you know better. But I also have a court ruling of the year, which is not the Saddam Hussein thing. I wonder if they'll televise that.
The execution?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that'd be cheery watching, wouldn't it?
Well, there'll have to be some sort of crowd. I mean, in that area of the world, they do show up for executions,
yeah.
Don't they?
Yeah.
Well, you know, let's not pretend otherwise. We used to do the same. We used to take a packed lunch for a quick burning. It used to be the weekly entertainment. Now, of course, we go to football.
We still abuse people.
Yeah, but oh, we watch the X Factor. Whereas Victorians used to go to Bedlam to laugh at the mentally ill. Now we watch the X Factor in their
in the
opening stages. Yeah, where the mentally ill show up en masse in order to screech at Simon Cowell. Yeah. And are stunned when they're told that they can't sing. The paint's peeling off the walls. People have got their fingers in their ears, and they're being rejected. Jaws are on the floor, and we're guffawing at home.
And they still can't believe it.
Yeah.
But my mum always said I could sing.
And I always feel a little ashamed that I am enjoying their heartbreak and misery.
don't worry about that. They put themselves forward.
Yeah, you're quite right.
Yeah. And, you know, they've had their bit of exposure, and that's what they wanted.
That doesn't sound a very Christian attitude there, Luce.
Doesn't it?
I think that you had a bit of credit in the bank by showing up to church.
Yeah, I just spent it.
At the end of the year, mind, you just got it in, just in time, on Christmas Day, for which you get double points, by the way.
Oh, thanks.
But then you threw it all away with that unchristian attitude just then.
Oh. I was just being honest.
And you look so sweet and nice.
Is that unchristian? Just being honest.
Let's go with this one. Hello, you're on the air.
Oh, hello, Nick.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm all right.
Good, good. I thought I'd give you some good news. You know, you were saying that you didn't get many callers.
Everyone's too replete today. They're just stuffed their faces.
No, I don't think it's that at all. I can answer your question. Right, why I personally don't call you that much. I enjoy listening to you, and I don't like interrupting. And I know that sounds silly on a talk radio station. But I think you're the only presenter on LBC that really you can just listen to without interrupting. So it's a compliment.
Well, that's very nice of you to say that.
I really mean that. All the presenters that all take calls or don't, you're the only one I can just listen to and think, you know, I don't need to phone him because it's interesting what he's saying.
Oh, thanks a lot, Mum.
You're welcome. Send me £20 in the post.
All right, will do.
Take care.
Ta-ra.
Bye.
I have actually thought that before. We've talked about this, haven't we, Lucy?
We have, yeah.
And, because I never say the number, which is, you know, my first mistake, because you should always say the number. If you want people to call you, you should tell them what the number is, right? And I know it's on the what we call brake bumpers. It's on the outro of, adverts.
Yeah.
But people aren't listening to that, are they? They've switched off.
They're singing along to the music.
They've been concentrating with laser-like precision on the adverts themselves, after which they're utterly exhausted and they can't take in the number as it's being read to them.
They're busy buying all the products.
Yes, that's right. They're dialing up the worldwide wage to buy whatever it is we've just suggested. Yeah, quite right too. But unless you actually say the number, people won't know it.
No.
But I shoot myself in the foot by not doing that, but mostly because I just don't think of it. I don't
remember. Have you memorised it?
No. I know where it is now.
You've got the board there to refer.
Yeah.
I think I should test you on it weekly.
But I think it is because, and it's mostly down to you, Lucy, that our conversation is so stunningly interesting that people are rapt at home. That must be what it is. Anybody think that?
No!
Here's, Edwina. Hi, Wycombe. Hi, Wycombe.
Hello.
Edwina.
Hi, how are you?
I'm all right.
Actually, I was prompted to call you because I was ringing to say I endorse everything what Morel just told you.
How do you know her name?
Well, she's a regular.
Is she?
Yeah, you know, with Clive and, you know, and I'm a regular listener. But, no, I just love listening to you. I love your style of communication.
And you're the first person that's ever used the word style in connection with me.
Oh, is that a bad word to use? Because that's the way I, you know, call it, you know, for me.
Right. Hey, Lucy, do I look stylish to you?
No!
Lucy, you must understand what I mean when I say he has a style of communication. When you listen to all, you know, every presenter has their own style or method. method of communicating, but...
Yeah, Lucy's in there listening to Radio 3 at the moment.
Oh, well, thank you.
Not actually paying attention
anymore. I thought you would have a backup for me. I just enjoy it so much that there doesn't seem to be always a need to call you, you know. And I love the way you read the newspapers, because I don't get newspapers. And,
well, that's a very good position to hold, because there's nothing ever good in them. It will not improve your life to know the latest death toll in the world. No.
Yeah. But can I? While you're on the air, whilst I'm on the air with you, can I pull you to task over something you said the other night, as with regard to what you read in the newspapers? And that was people wearing sunglasses indoors. Do you remember that?
Well, I was talking about Bongo from U2, yeah.
Yeah. But you made a sort of general comment, basically saying that people who wear sunglasses indoors are sort of...
Dopes.
Dopes, yeah. That's the word. And I tried to...
Unless they have a medical condition. That's an obvious exception. Obvious exception, isn't it?
Exactly, because that's the first thing that sprung to mind.
Yeah.
Oh, what about those who've got a medical condition?
Well, they're excused. Okay. Excused, of course they are.
But, I enjoy it. You know, it's very nice.
Well, thanks a lot, Edwina.
Okay, bye.
Hey, we're suddenly getting a pouring of love coming in through the door. It's getting sticky in here.
I work on my iPod. It's actually very easy. I managed to download 2 this week, and I listen to them when I'm on the tube.
No matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, you can listen to all your favourite shows on LBC 97.3. Just log on to lbc.co.uk, click on podcasting, and for just £2 a month, you can access the world of LBC. Special features you won't hear on the radio, the latest gossip from the managing director, listen to some vintage LBC, and on top of that, you can choose to hear all your favourite shows uninterrupted.
I downloaded my first podcast about 6 months ago. It's something that I'm really sort of getting into now.
LBC.co.uk to listen on your PC or download to listen on the move. London's LBC 97.3
0870 90 90 973.
Nick Abbott.
I enjoy working with people.
Hey, Will.
Hello.
Will.
Hello, Nick. Well, I didn't expect to find you on the radio, but I got in the car to drive somewhere and the radio came on and I thought, oh, blimey, I recognise that voice.
I will be on the radio every day for over 3 weeks.
You're kidding?
I kid you not.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to be doing 3 till 6 this week, and then I'm on Saturday here. Am I on Sunday? No, Sunday's New Year's Eve. But I do work on that day, but not here.
Mm.
And then the following week, I'm on 7 till 10. A week during which, by the way, Lucy has decided not to show up. I'm lucky that she even bothered to show up today.
I think she was
just passing, weren't you?
I might as well
pop in.
I'm popping away for New Year.
Where are you going?
I'm going to Guernsey.
Guernsey?
Yeah.
Very nice. Who are you going to meet there?
Thanks. They're our friends.
Isn't that where the cows live?
Well, there are Guernsey cows there,
yeah.
Mm. Lovely bit of cream.
Lovely.
Lovely.
Right, well, don't worry about me. I'll just carry on working then, shall I?
Could you?
Yeah. So I'll be doing 7 to 10 next week, Will.
Oh, sorry. You were so busy nattering amongst yourselves, I didn't think you needed me.
No, I'm talking to you.
Okay, talking to me now.
Next week I'm doing 7 to 10. Before the new... we're in transition here, and I'm the... Well, how would you describe it?
Sellotape?
I'm the What, that's holding it all together?
Oh, yeah.
I am the cream in the two sponges that are, no, that doesn't work, does it?
It's a lovely bit of cream.
On the filling in their sandwich. On the meat in their baps. I'm running out. And anyway.
Nick, anyway.
Paul Ross is going to be starting Drive, and Ian Lee will be going 7 to 10. During which I think that it will be excellent for him. Yes, Nick. Will.
Yes, hello. The reason I'm ringing in is I just won a guitar. I never won anything, but I rang up this local tin pot radio station that were giving away a guitar if you could answer 5 music trivia questions, and lo and behold, I won this guitar, and I haven't the faintest idea how to play one. And I was wondering if you play the guitar or play any instruments.
I wish with every fibre of my body that I did. I would most, more than almost anything else, like to walk into a room full of people, sit down and play the piano. Wouldn't that be fantastic?
Now, I can play the piano.
You can?
But I can't play the guitar. I mean, the piano's logical, i.e. the higher up you press a note on the piano, the higher the pitch, whereas a guitar, to me, is just very unintuitive.
Yeah, I can see that, yeah. I got piano lessons when I was very young, but I hated every second of it, because other kids were outside playing in the garden. I could hear their, you know, their angelic squeals coming in through the window, and I was going, ding, 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 ding. Nightmare.
What, they were out playing football and stuff?
Exactly. You know, having fun. You remember fun, don't you?
Well, at least if you had a guitar, you could have played that outside. You could have sat and sort of joined in.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, I would love to be able to... I'd love to be more musical than I am, but I ain't. So.
Yeah, I'd like to be able to play the banjo, actually.
The banjo?
The banjo, yeah. So you could play kind of hillbilly bluegrass stuff. That would be amusing at parties, wouldn't it?
Well, it depends, yeah, it depends whether you're in Arkansas at a party. So what were the music trivia quiz questions?
It was stuff like, it was five questions and you had to take, like, the first letter of each answer and rearrange them into a word.
Great, okay. My pen is poised.
Okay,
this sounds like a challenge to me.
Who was it that did Stay Away to Heaven?
Led Zeppelin.
Right, okay. What? How many strings were on the guitar when they performed it live? It was like some special guitar.
12.
No, it wasn't.
8.
Yeah, that's what I thought. And I actually got it right, because it begins with the same letter as the answer that is right.
6. 18,
apparently.
18?
Yeah,
oh, right. Because it was, right, because he had two guitars.
Yeah.
This is a trick question. He had a twin neck guitar. One was 12 and one was 6.
Exactly.
Right. Well, I'll say that I got that one right.
Okay. And then the other questions were stuff like, the surname of the guy who did One Night in Bangkok, Murray.
One Night somebody. In Bangkok? Oh.
Is that from the chess or something?
Yeah, that's it.
Is
and
it?
Then another question.
What, do you mean it's an actual musical?
That song is from a musical, I believe.
Well, the guy who did the song. But,
who was that then?
Who was it?
Yeah.
Murray Head.
Murray Head?
Murray Head. And another question was, who was the guitarist on the intro on Michael Jackson's Black or White?
It was probably Eddie Van Halen, right?
No, it was Slash.
Ah, like I said, Slash.
Exactly. So, yeah, it was stuff like that, and then they put me into a draw, and because it was only a tin pot local station, there was only 4 people in the draw. And they read it out and said, oh, Will, you've won the guitar, come to the music shop and collect it. And I was expecting some real naff sort of 20 quid guitar, and it's actually a really good electric guitar.
I'll teach him.
I was like, hey. So I thought, I kind of owe it to, myself to try and learn how to play the thing.
Oh, sell it on eBay?
No.
Well, that sounds, so I'm trying, I've got those answers, all of which I think I got right, and, I'm trying to put the initial letters into another word. Now, all I'm getting is smell.
Well, there were 5 questions altogether.
Right, well, we've only had 4,
okay,
and I've got 100% record so far, so...
Okay, well, with prompting. Now, who... I'm trying to think what the other question was. If it's that important to you, I'll try and remember it.
Take all the time you need, Will. It's got a live show here.
It must be another L.
You would think so. Was the word actually smell? Christmas they would come up with that.
It's actually a make of a guitar, but it's a make I'd never even heard of anyway.
So you didn't even know the answer to the question and you won?
No, I worked out what the word was just by the only a few words it could have been with those letters in it, and that was it.
Well, I'll assume that I got the next one right, so, sometimes I surprise myself. What do I win? Let me guess. Nothing, right?
Plectrum.
Oh, plectrum, right, with which I can plec.
That Hallelujah music, who is that by?
Oh, that's an excellent question. I'm glad you asked me that.
Nick Abbott.
I'm listening, dear. You can talk to me.
So I have a letter of the year from Dear Deirdre, which is a column I don't often read. I often read the headlines of the letters, and if they look like they're going to be funny enough, then I'll have a little peek. But other than that, you know, I just can't be delving into such misery. Who are you talking to? Psst.
Well, it's just the next shift.
Oh, really?
Just entering the building.
Who's that?
Elliot. He's going to be doing Alex's job for the best 100 moments on LBC.
Aha!
Yeah.
In which I feature large, I bet.
I think you probably do, yeah.
Why you lie?
I've been archiving for hours.
Have you?
You are in cream now, did you know that?
No.
Yeah. You've been creamed.
No way.
You have.
Which bit did they take?
You've been in for the last few weeks, actually.
You're joking.
No. Little bits and pieces.
Huh.
Yeah, everyone
gets
sent.
I thought it was only the more
people have been asking for you. That's why.
Yeah, right.
They had. I kid you not.
I thought it was only the professionals, that they're not some dope like me on cream of LBC. I thought it was the people who do this proper who would get on that show.
You're just as proper.
Mm-hmm.
You are.
Here's a Dear Deirdre letter, which I couldn't resist. This is the Dear Deirdre letter of the year. Are you ready? Hey, have we got any, is there anything? All right. Have we got anything between now and the end of the show that I need to get in and out of?
No, just the end.
Dear Deirdre, how long is this piece, Alex?
2 minutes.
Dear Deirdre, my husband came home reeking of perfume and without his underwear on. The next day, I found long blonde hairs in his van. We are both 37 and have been married for 6 years. He started talking about a woman at her work. Screwed it up already, Luz.
Quick, move on.
He started talking about a woman at work a couple of months ago, saying how nice she is. He spends hours on the computer and his phone bill has rocketed. After his colleague said she had seen them kissing, I went through his phone and found very explicit texts and photos. He told me it was nothing, just a woman hassling him at work. I returned home early one day last week and heard him on his phone asking this woman to give him oral sex. What happens when you talk about it, right? I quietly left again and waited. He came out and got into his van and drove round to her house. When he came back 2 hours later, he said he had been taking work stuff back to her. Are they having an affair? Oh no. Nothing to worry about there, dear. Oh, Struth.
Are they for real?
Well, you can only assume so, because it's right there in black and white.
But that's ridiculous.
My husband came home reeking of perfume and without his underwear on.
Did she ask him where his pants were?
Is he having an affair? Oh, dear, Deirdre.
I presume Deirdre said,
well, she
said, fine.
This is the part I haven't actually read yet. What did Deirdre say? No, nothing to worry about there. There is almost certainly something going on between them. To which we all say, duh, you don't need to be an expert to think that, dear. Tell him you are unhappy about the situation. Well, I'll bet she has, at volume.
I don't know, she doesn't sound like the sort of person
mousy, you would say.
If she's had to write in to a national paper to ask for advice.
She says, my advice line today, is your man two-timing you, will help. Well, I don't think they need any help to figure it out, really.
How many more clues?
I know, you don't need Columbo to come in to figure this one out. But I love the way that she always directs people to an advice line, which you can ring at the cost of £1.50 a minute. She's just there to help.
Yeah.
So, what's happening next, Luz?
After the news, it's the best 100 moments on LBC.
Right.
And then you've got the best of Clive at 8.
Well, two reasons to stick around. I'm back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Have a good night.
On FM. On
DAB and online. This is LBC 97.3.